pixels. We got your pixels. Piping hot pixels. Everybody, welcome to Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. This here long-standing electronic engineering podcast brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Yep, pixels are the name of the game this week. Big, small, and all the tiny dots in between. So, first up, you know it, you love it, a little news you may have missed. How many pixels? Addition. Now, did you know that the U.S. Department of Energy's SLAC, National Accelerator Laboratory, has been working on the world's largest digital camera? Once it's installed at the Rubin Observatory in Chile, this big old camera will produce panoramic images of the complete southern sky. Yeah, with one panorama taken every few nights for 10 years. The goal here is to feed the data from this camera into the Rubin Observatory's Legacy Survey of Science and Time, or LSST, that already contains, get this, more galaxies than living people on Earth, and create the largest astronomical movie of all time. LSST is really hoping that this new camera will help solve some of the biggest mysteries in the universe, including dark energy and dark matter. So, in order to make progress on this largest digital camera ever created, a team at the SLAC National Accelerator Laboratory had to test its focal plane. So, how'd they do that? Well, you know, just took the first 3,200 megapixel digital photo. Yeah, that would be the largest ever taken in a single shot. These images are so big.
How big are they, Amelia?
Well, it would take 378 4K ultra-high definition television screens to display just one of them in full size. And their resolution is so high that you can see a golf ball from about 15 miles away. So, this focal plane is pretty amazing. It's made up of 189 individual sensors, or what they're calling charge-coupled devices, or CCDs. And each of those contains 16 megapixels. So if you're counting, we're looking at about 3.2 billion pixels in this bad boy. And some of those pixels are only about 10 microns wide. The focal plane itself is about 2 feet wide, with a width of only a bit more than a tenth of the width of a human hair. Now, you need a focal plane this big, apparently, so you can capture a portion of the sky about the size of 40 moons. Wow. SLAC's Stephen Kahn said, "This achievement is among the most significant of the entire Rubin Observatory project. The completion of the LSST camera focal plane and its successful tests is a huge victory by the camera team that will enable the Rubin Observatory to deliver next-generation astronomical science." Now, the ultimate goal of this project is nothing short of astounding. Ultimately, these imaging sensors will be able to spot objects 100 million times dimmer than those visible to the naked eye. To put it another way, this kind of sensitivity would let you see a candle from thousands of miles away. I think another one of the project scientists on this project, Stephen Ritz, summed it up quite nicely when he said, "These unique features will enable the Rubin Observatory's ambitious science program. This data will improve our knowledge of how galaxies have evolved over time and let us test our models of dark matter and dark energy more deeply and precisely than ever before. The observatory will be a wonderful facility for a broad range of science, from detailed studies of our solar system to studies of faraway objects toward the edge of the visible universe." Super cool, right? So if you want even more information about this groundbreaking 3,200 megapixel photo, including how the sensors and electronic components were packaged into science rafts, their term, not mine, cool time-lapse video of the team assembling the LSST camera, and even more information about how this camera will affect the future of science exploration and understanding, I've included a slew of links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. All right, from the biggest camera in the world to the phone in your pocket, let's keep moving on our pixelated journey with Vikas Durka from Pixelworks. Vikas and I are chatting about Pixelworks' new visual processor with AI adaptive picture quality, what fuzzy logic is all about, and why Vikas is a first-of-its-kind fish fry guest. All right, let's get started. Hi, Vikas. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. Thank you for inviting me to the show. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, so you guys at Pixelworks just recently had a really big launch that involved your new sixth generation visual processor. So tell me more about this new sixth generation processor.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to. So Pixelworks has, as you know, been transforming the mobile displays with our dedicated visual processors. First launched in 2014. Since then, today, now we are in various flagship smartphone devices, including the OnePlus 8 family of phones, the Oppo Find X2, many of the gaming devices like the ROG phones and the Tencent Black Shark phones. And more importantly, we are also in some of the mid-tier or more affordable phones like the TCL 10 series of phones and the Nokia 6, 7, and 8 series of phones. So as you mentioned, this is the sixth generation of our visual processors. And this time we are truly pushing the display envelope. This is the first processor, the i6 visual processors are the first processors to integrate a artificial intelligence or AI processing unit that is built upon our mobile training data sets and models.
Wow, that's really cool. Can you tell me some more about that AI capability in this new visual processor?
Yeah, so since we are talking about the mobile smartphone space, it's important to understand that the mobile space really requires two factors or metrics that are at odds with each other year over year: performance and power. And we have designed this AI engine in i6 specifically to balance performance, power, and personalization. It utilizes a proprietary, lightweight, fuzzy logic inferencing block, one that prioritizes significance over precision. Let me explain this with an example. I came across this in a paper recently. So imagine a heavy metal object hurling down and a person is standing underneath. The conventional AI algorithms, the ones that say prioritize precision, would warn the person by saying something like, hey, a 2,500-pound metal object is coming down upon you at 4.3 meters per second. Very precise, but probably not the best suited for the given situation. What the fuzzy logic inferencing block, the one that prioritizes significance, will do is it'll simply say, look out. So that's essentially the heart and soul of the lightweight part of the block, right? How it applies in mobile phones is, you know, when you're watching your mobile phone and a display, what you see and what you perceive isn't just dependent on the type of display or the manufacturer who built it. They are important points, but that's not what really determines how you perceive the display. Various factors such as the ambient light you are in, your own preferences of the display, what you're watching, whether it is a video or whether you're playing a game or you're watching a photo or reading an email, and your own eyesight. You know, a 16-year-old watches a smartphone completely differently or sees the smartphone completely differently than a 60-year-old. All of these factors play a role in determining how you perceive the display. And with the i6 AI engine, this is the first time we are able to take in all of these inputs and then pair them up with the visual inferencing rules that we have developed over all these years and dynamically adjust the display pipeline so that you get a visual experience that is stunning, that is accurate, that adapts to the lighting or the various conditions that you're watching the display in, as well as it's exactly what you like the display to look like. I think it's also important to point out that this particular implementation is the brainchild of our CTO, Bob Chang, who is the pioneer in fuzzy logic. He has 12 patents to his name on this topic and has spent the last 30 years of his career in the fields of both fuzzy logic and display differentiation.
So tell me, what type of smartphone displays would use this new i6 and i6 Pro processor?
So what we are seeing is an interesting trend happening in the mobile displays or mobile smartphone space in general. You know, bigger screens, higher refresh rate, better colors, better contrast. You know, these display features are not just limited to the flagship phones anymore. They are coming down to the, you know, what you can call as a 500 or sub 500 or a mid-tier phone segment. And this is the segment that the i6 and the i6 Pro family targets. We believe that display differentiation will be the key for all the mobile phone providers to provide what users are really seeking for in these devices. More video, better gameplay, longer gameplay, ability to capture photos and videos for sharing with friends and family. Essentially, a lot more multimedia use of the mobile devices down to the sub 500 tiers of phone that now have these displays that are truly capable, and you need an i6 or an i6 Pro to get that capability out on the smartphone.
Okay, cool. Now, I also noticed that you guys changed the naming of your visual processors. Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, so we have named our processors essentially for simplicity of understanding and making sure that we are able to differentiate the segmentation that we serve, the market segmentation. So the renaming of our visual processors are to the X and the I series of processors. The X series is essentially targeted for the high-end or the premium-tier smartphones. And these processors have our comprehensive and industry-leading feature set, including our patented motion processing technology. The I series, as I mentioned, is more targeted towards the, you know, the mid-tier or the high-mid-tier smartphones to deliver a cost-optimized display differentiation for these affordable smartphones and enable premium visual experiences like the always-on HDR, best-in-class color accuracy, and picture quality. The one thing to highlight, we talked about i6 and i6 Pro. So the Pro part of the naming is essentially indicative of the fact that Pixelworks has optimized certain visual processing elements or enhancements to run on select mobile platforms like the Qualcomm Snapdragon mobile platform. This includes features like the HDR tone mapping, our patented high efficiency calibration for color accuracy, and auto adaptive display features, which works in conjunction or in combination with our processors to further the display performance and power optimization across various smartphone apps and use cases.
Fantastic. All right. And for your last question, since you haven't been on my show before, you have a unique hobby in your free time. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, that's right. So, you know, besides spending pretty much most of my waking hours on technology, I also write, edit, and direct short films and theater plays. I'm associated with this company called Natak, which is America's biggest Indian theater company based here in the Bay Area. And I've written and directed several plays for Natak, including a play called Airport Insecurity, which is based on my own personal experience of getting stuck at the Frankfurt airport for 48 hours without a passport, phone, and a wallet. I think that's for a future podcast for sure. And you know, 2020 has been a challenging year, to say the least, for most of us. But one small moment of joy for me was getting listed on IMDb, of all places, with all the work I do with writing, directing, and editing short films. So, you know, a little bit of joy in this year, for sure. I'll take it.
That is fantastic. And I think you are my very first IMDb official speaker on Fish Fry. That is super cool. Well, this was awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Amelia, thank you so much. It was so much fun talking to you.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow me or us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by you know who. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, the iTunes Store, and a whole lot more. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or if you just want to chat, I promise I will respond. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of September 11th, 2020, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.